We're talking with Don Parrish from American Farm Bureau. Don, let's talk a little bit about WOTUS. You were indicating to the media here earlier today that lots of worries about the incremental nature of how WOTUS could be implemented over the years if it's left in place.
You know, this proposal that EPA finalized, and it's final now unless the courts stop it, is if you look at three columns, very small type in the Federal Register, it's over 80 pages. And unfortunately, there are things buried in there that are going to be enforced not only on farmers today, but on their kids and their grandkids into the future. It is just riddled with things that is going to catch farmers in the way that we farm land for generations to come. EPA is characterized as a generational rule. We believe that. And unfortunately, it's designed in a way just to get tighter and tighter as they implement more and more of this rule as time goes on.
Can I explain what do you mean by getting tighter and tighter? How would it actually tighten up on how a farmer and his son and his grandson might farm?
Okay, let's talk about, you know, a couple things. And the first one we'll talk about is plowing. Generally speaking, plowing in the Federal Register, in our regulations, and the way Congress intended it, is not supposed to be a discharge. But all of a sudden, now EPA is trying to parse what they consider plowing and what is exempt. In fact, they talk about it in two ways. They talk about it in terms of how deep you plow. And you know, in Mr. Duarte's case out in California, the agency spent over $500,000 over a 450-acre field to prove that he plowed deeper than 12 inches. So think about plowing in the upper root zone. Now, the upper root zone is not defined. We generally, in agriculture, think of the upper root zone as being roughly the first 24 inches of soil depth. Mm-hmm. In the case of California, they've determined it to be the upper 12 or even upper 8 inches. So the ability in Congress not specifying how deep you can plow is going to be interpreted across the country as being different in different places. So as one area makes it 12 inches, the next area makes it 8, the next area may be 6. I think over time you're going to see regulators that really don't have agricultural interest or understanding push those upper root zones into more shallow and shallow depths, which means farmers can get in trouble. The other issue is what is considered ongoing. Generally speaking, EPA and the Corps are very specific. They look at what farmers have been doing, and if you make changes in that, particularly if you've got to till the land any differently, and let's talk about, let's say we've got a wheat, corn, and soybean rotation, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden farmers find a local market that want to buy tomatoes. And let's say they've got restaurants in the area that really like local cucumbers and tomatoes. All of a sudden, if farmers have got to change the way they farm and the way they till that land, the Corps and EPA in California is saying, you've got to come to us for a permit, even to make those kinds of flexibility type changes. Wow. That is unbelievable. And that's how you're going to see this thing ratchet up. You're going to see farmers say, well, we've been grazing cattle here, but we can make more money growing corn. Or we've been growing alfalfa and we can make more money growing tomatoes. All of a sudden, all of that changes, and over time, EPA is going to be able to litigate and enforce that issue farmer by farmer. And our job here at the American Farm Bureau is to try to make sure that we're speaking together, because to take the federal government on is going to be very costly. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, you start down that road, farmers get really edgy, they get really scared, and they pretty soon back away from the use of their property.
Right. Now, in the case of this California producer you've brought, Mr. Duarte, he talked about dealing primarily with the Army Corps of Engineers. Are they going to be the lead agency that we're going to see out on these farms and ranches?
Yes. They are definitely going to be the front line, because the Army Corps are the people that implement this regulation. And what I want to tell your listeners and your people here is that the Army Corps has some significant problems with the way EPA finalized this rule. Now, some you know, are willing to go to the nth of the earth to regulate and believe that farmers are a problem when we're just trying to produce food and fiber for the marketplace. But clearly, we're going to see the enforcement take place you know, out in the field, and we're going to see the Army Corps, and they're going to be implementing the rules that EPA has put into place.
Would you imagine that from district to district, Army Corps district to district, are we going to see a lot of differences in how things are actually interpreted and done?
We are going to see differences, and what you're going to see is one district gets away with something and makes the regulation more tighter, you're going to see other districts adopt that, because those individuals within those government agencies move around. They move around from core district to core district, and if they've done it in one district one way, they're going to do it in the other district the same way.
So, you know, Farm Bureau, what obviously you continue, as Mr. Salmon indicated in his presidential address, ditch the rules as a primary part of who you are. How do you move forward on this?
Well, clearly, we're going to do what it takes to keep this issue before Congress. And Congress this week is going to devote on the Congressional Review Act to try to send a message to the president that they got it wrong. We're very supportive of the vote in that, and we consider that to be a bipartisan vote because, you know, EPA not only messed up the details of the rule, they messed up the process. And if you take a look at both of those separately, you can have the government just shouldn't be able to do what they did here. I mean, GAO said they broke the law. They broke the law. They use the term covert propaganda. Think about that. Just let those terms sink in just a minute. That's our government. Covert propaganda. We can't have that in terms of producing rules that we all have to live by. We ought to be open and transparent. The agencies need to do that. We've got more to do. We're going to keep it in front of Congress, even if it takes introducing new legislation that clarifies, you know, what the ag exemptions are, and maybe, you know, if, you know, making sure that this rule is not put into place until after it's you know, makes its way through the courts.
Right. Now, on the court side of things, I'm getting different vibes from different people regarding how long that stay that the Cincinnati court has put into place. Will it stay in place, for example, through the remainder of the Obama presidency?
What we expect is that if the Cincinnati court, if the Court of Appeals decides that they can hear this case, then the stay will likely stay in place. If the court decides the appropriate place to hear this case is the district court level, in all likelihood, that circuit court stay will be lifted. And then it's chaos. It is chaos as to, you know, right now we've got a North Dakota court with a stay in place for 13 states. We'll see that happen. We'll see that develop, you know, kind of on a hopscotch, hodgepodge basis around the country. We hope Congress would intervene at that time and the president would sign something. But it's anybody's guess. This rule is a very political hot button, and it is seen by how you know, the process has developed.
And of course, there is a lot of support for it as far as your environmental groups, and they've really rallied a lot of people on their side that push in the other direction.
You know, what's interesting, and I want to point this out to you and your listeners. One of the things that is so interesting is that the people who actually supported this never took the time to read it. They didn't read the details. It was 371 type pages, single type, single space pages of detail. They never looked at the details. They, you know, everybody supports clean water, and I think everybody could sign a petition or a campaign to say we support clean water, but you know what? We don't support clean water at giving up our liberties and property rights, and particularly the way in which this rule deals with those things internally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people took the time to read the regulation, I think they would have really questioned the federal government expanding their authority, mm-hmm. their authority over individuals and property rights beyond what anything we've seen before. And probably beyond, not just probably, beyond what we think Congress authorized. It is breathtaking in that area.